Boy, do I love these. So many things in the church world became rituals and became things that were only done by certain people. And I don't know how that was, but can I just say that's unnatural? This is natural. This is, the body was always supposed to be the body. We were always to be members of one another, connected by relationships, functioning as a body. And I love many reasons I love the dedications that we do. One is the picture that you see of the body covering all of these realms. And I can stand back. I mean, it's a huge relief to me because I can't be all those things and I'm not here and there. And yet it all gets covered because we function as the body. And we need to celebrate that, treasure that, export that. The church is to be the greatest exporter. We're to have things in here that get exported. And when we have bread in the house, when there's real bread in the house, then we can export that bread. And that's all the world is looking for, is bread. They're looking for this. Do you understand? Even our whole culture, even if they're ungodly, they're looking for this. They're hungry for this. And they have no interest in religion. They have no interest in church. But they have interest in this. And those millennials that we're all concerned about, they're looking for this. As techie as they are, they want, can we sit down and have lunch together and talk? They came back to this. They're hungry for it. And we're in a world that with all the nonsense that's going on, they're hungry for this. They're hungry for connection. They're hungry to be cared about. They're hungry to find family, the reality of family. And they're hungry to find a church that is family. They're hungry to see a place where there's true accountability. The complaints about even small churches, like, I'm very proud of it. Because here, like, laws and brother-in-laws and brothers and wives and husbands, now, we're here watching it, but do you understand what it creates? It creates this natural accountability. You don't get to be a fake here. Because someone that really knows you will go, hey, knock it off. What are you doing? What was that? If I go home from church and there's anything artificial, I get it at home. Like, what was that? If it's not my wife, it's my daughter. If it's not my daughter, it's my brother-in-law. If it's, you know, it's like, and I cherish that. We walk in this reality, and I love this, and I love all of you interacting and sharing, and we're celebrating babies. Oh my God! Like, who knew it would be so important? And then, you know, it's one thing to have your own children. No one can explain what happens when you become when you're a grandparent. That opens up this whole other world. I'm being changed by the grandchild in my life. No one could explain it. I had no grid for it. And something's happening. They're liquid. The wording is in that song. Some places are like, oh, we shouldn't sing those words at song in church, a sloppy wet kiss. But once your grandchild kisses your nose with his mouth wide open, you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. This is affection, and you cherish it. You just wipe your face off after it's done. And in heaven, wants to, you know, kisses us that way. Like, it's the real thing. It's mouth wide open, nothing, no hindrance. There's like, our babies don't know better. They're like, ah, you know. One day, Jace had my ear in his mouth. I'm like, wow, what's happening? But it's affection. And the kingdom of heaven is supposed to look like that. Not the formal, everything rigid, but and the world's hungry for it. They're so hungry for it. We're all hungry for it. So, wow, I just love that. I'm always just moved and blessed. And it feels so good Once you taste this and then you do those formal prayers for each other, you're like, you know, like what's really good is when you get preyed on, spelled P-R-E-Y-E-D, like, you know, the body comes and I'm not going to be prayed for today, am I? Well, if you would happen to be, you'll love it afterwards. It's a scary thought, but and it feels so good once you've been in that place where you really have a need, where you're really broken, where you're really hungry, and this body of people come around and they reach out and touch you. There's not words for that. When a church comes and there's touches of true compassion and there's grace in the touch and there's acceptance in the touch and there's healing in the touch and there's genuineness in the smiles. I mean, as Americans, we can get pretty good at that, you know, that stoic fake laugh. But the real joy, the real laugh, to have the real gladness and share that. And so, wow, yeah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians 5. I feel to revisit this, and in this passage, in the context of Galatians 5, is that it was a revelation that was being revisited. It wasn't a brand new thing. The whole context is we're revisiting a very fundamental foundational truth in our Christian walk. That we're saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And in Galatians chapter 5, and I had, before I read, I had recently said this. We influence one another. We influence people. And we are influenced by people and situations. And some of the most powerful influences are the slightest, smallest things. If you tell someone a story, their response is going to influence you. And some of the quieter responses, the rolling of the eyes, or a frown. You've got a great idea, you share it with someone, they're like, you know. And they walk away. It affects you. You're more prone, I believe this, you're more prone to make a change. Like, let's say you wear something. That's a big deal. What you wore, what you wear, you know? And men are just as vain as women. You know, the honest opinion's like, you know, what do you think of this? Like, that's nice, you know? Do you know, especially if they say little, you probably won't wear that again. You're like, wow, you know, and you go to grab that sweater, that shirt, that dress, those pants, you just go, no, I remember that reaction, you know, like it's just, it gets in you. It's funny what I've watched this in my own life, but it's funny what I'll change because there was a response that was like disapproving, and it can be the slightest thing. Now, that's just life, and that's social. That's us living together, okay? There's a natural part of that that just is what it is. But what about this place in this realm that if you're a believer, you're in this, you don't get to opt out of it, about what the Spirit is saying to do and what you're led to do and what you're called to do, and what happens when you get those kind of responses or you're worried about how people are going to perceive you or how you respond, are you going to allow that to affect your life and your walk? Now, it's very dangerous, and that's actually what this is about. It's amazing how you can lose yourself and actually get separated from Christ over these things. Oh, yeah, it's a big deal. I can't tell the details, but I'm walking out of something that I found myself in. It can happen anytime to anyone in any place. And you don't see it coming, and all of a sudden you've come under something, and you've lost your joy, and you've lost your life, and you're not doing well, and you're like, what's the matter with me? I should be doing better, but I'm not. I'm crashed. I'm not alive. I've lost my creativity. I've lost my passion. I'm going through the motions, and I hate doing this, that, and the other thing. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So liberty, freedom. We've done that in our worship when we're feeling spunky and whatever. Freedom, yell it out, whatever. But freedom, if you're only, associate it to the Harley Davidson motorcycle guy, I just got some attention. Like, what are we talking about, Harley's? This is a picture of freedom, The big guy, the long beard and big hair, and he's got a big bike that makes a lot of noise, and he's, there's some leather and some black and some decorations on his back, and he wind blowing through his hair, and he's on an open highway out west, and, that's freedom. From what? From traffic? I mean, that's actually, let's just acknowledge that. That's just a picture. It's an icon, but it's not real freedom. You can be totally bound up riding on that perfect highway out west, on that perfect bike. As much as I know you Harley people are like, oh, I love my bike, It used to be old hippies. Now it's lawyers and attorneys and whatever that have their bikes. Freedom has to have a context, and it's free from what? This word liberty, liberty, context. And in the context of this is liberty from sin, liberty to truly be who I am in God. It's not just to be whatever I want to be, because that's not freedom. That's something else. Just you do what you want to do. That's not freedom. You get to treat people how you want to treat them. You get to come home when you want to come home. You get to leave when you want to leave. It's like, that's irresponsibility. Especially if you have a wife and children and some response, then like, what is that? That's not a good thing. But liberty, our liberty in Christ, which we should all walk in, is the freedom to be fully who the Lord wants you to be. Free, at liberty to fulfill your responsibilities. Liberty to be fully free from sin. Liberty from the entanglements. That's liberty. That's the liberty we want to celebrate. That's what we want to see here. Stand fast in your liberty. So once you get set free from the bondages, you're at one with Christ. You're at one in your relationship with Jesus. That's the goal. Like, we want to get there. That's real freedom. Then you want to maintain that. How did you get here? By grace, not by works. You got here by believing, by coming into Christ. You didn't get it because you earned it or deserved it. So you walk in this liberty, stand firm in it. You have to defend the little hill you've gotten to. You have to stand firm in it. You have to choose to be here, because all those little influences around you, the looks on people's faces, fears of the unknown is to you. And all of a sudden, and what's funny, if you're influenced by a person just by their looks or their lack of commenting on something, the slightest things, you're mad at them. The worst thing that happens to me, if someone asks me one of those questions or shares one of those things with me when I'm preoccupied or I'm like, please don't do that. Because you can get a real odd response if I'm preoccupied, which I often am. So the smart people around me, if it's something important, they wait when I'm here. Like, my daughter will be like, are you looking at me in the eyes? Like, you paying attention? Dad, hey, she's not bashful. Feel the same way. That should be. There's times when I'm looking at them, but I'm whistling. That's the signal, like, you're not paying attention. I have all my tells, they know them all. I'm like, like I said, I have to walk, and I get pay it right off. I don't get away with much. And I love that. But when you allow those things to affect you and you stop doing something you actually were supposed to be doing because someone went, oh, that's stupid. And it could be a thoughtless comment. Most of the time they are. Now you quit doing this. You are separated from Christ. It gets that serious and you're mad at them. Oh, please, honestly. Our culture's full of it. The church is full of it. Everybody, why do you think you're angry at everybody? Because you believe they have power over you. And they don't. You get to control yourself. Yeah, but if I do this, you still get to choose. You may have to suffer. It may cost you, but you're free. You're not malignant. You don't have to be something. You don't have to be somewhere. You were there because you go, I'd rather keep working this job than to go hungry. Okay, you chose it. That's good. Good choice. I agree. I'm not going to feed you. So there are choices we make. They may even be unpleasant, but own it. We want to always own our decisions and our choices. And when you come to that reality, it changes all your relationships. And it changes your walk with the Lord. The rest of this verse, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So this is a word to people that have been liberated from the yoke of bondage. And it's an admonition, don't lose that. Don't lose that liberty. Don't get entangled again. How many of you know that living life on the planet, you have to avoid the entanglements? There are things to get entangled up in any day of the week, especially relationships, especially relationally. There are entanglements, and no one's bad in it. Just take responsibility. Just be careful. Beware. It can be the simplest thing. Someone asks you, hey, do this with me. And if you don't answer truthfully and honestly, you're entangled. Have someone ask you, hey, let's go out to eat after church. Like, no, I can't. I don't have the money to do it. Then so they go, okay, all right, see, you know. And then later they see you spending your money. You have money. That wasn't honest. Because you had money to do something else. You need to say, come up with some other answer that's truthful. Don't use bad excuse because you just got entangled. We're full of this. We're bad at this. Afraid to be honest or truthful. Look for all, you don't have to reveal all things. But don't deceive. Don't put on false perceptions. Because we don't want to look bad. We are so freaked out about looking bad right now. Do you know how paranoid we are about looking bad? Pretty bad case of it. And our social media has made it so much, just like, now someone might post something about you. Of course they will. Verse 2, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, this was a big deal. Had everybody's attention. Oh, circumcision. Oh, yeah, big deal, big issue. And so the question with the new church, to be circumcised or not to be circumcised? That is the question. Funny subject. But it can be applied to so many other things. It represents anything that you enter into to be accepted. Anything you enter into so you look good or you look right. And when Christ came, that became, and later he says, it's not about the last verse that we're going to look at, verse 6, or the verse at the end of this passage. Circumcision, non-circumcision, neither one of them matter. It's about walking in faith. Living in faith, working through love, faith that's working through love. It's about that. It's about coming to that. And so What do you want? It's funny what you try to do. You walk into, you step into, you join, you... And Proverbs warns it about this. Be careful lest you become surety or a pledge for someone. If you find you have stepped into something that obligates you, deliver yourself as fast as you can. Get out of that thing as fast as you can. That's why friends shouldn't loan friends money. Family shouldn't loan family money. Either give them a gift or stay out of it. I counsel people all that way all the time. Like, don't do that. Either give them a gift and walk away and say, here, you can burn it, or you can use it, do whatever. But that loaning thing is, it creates debt and it will ruin a relationship. And one or both parties may have great intentions. I seldom see it go well. It's very risky. Because this element's in there. And sometimes you do that. I mean, that's kind of a hot issue, but let's be hot. I don't want any of you to be bored. What will it look like if I don't give them the money? There's the question. That becomes more, and if you're a believer, then your primary thing, besides your wife and you know whoever you're living, you know, who your covenant people are, is Jesus is Lord. Lordship means he's the boss, and you chose that. Jesus is Lord over my life. I have to run it past him. I have to have a yes from him before I do something. And that's not a cop-out. That's real life, man. For the Spirit-filled Christian, the Spirit-led life, that's not a cop-out. That's absolutely, you got to do that. And you wait till you know that from the Lord. And then you walk it out. And don't ask me and don't ask somebody else. Just do it. Take the responsibility for how it goes. We've got to get back to walking before the Lord, you and him, and laying all these things out and resisting this temptation of how it looks. Because that's the trap. That's the entanglement. We have to use wisdom, and we don't use all those other things because we're like, what choice did I have? You always have a choice. You actually do have a choice. You may suffer in the situation because you make this choice or that. You'll suffer probably either way. So if you're going to suffer, suffer with a clear conscience. How about that? I tell people, my new phrase, like we've learned this over time, be blameless. We say that to one another a lot. Here's the answer, be blameless. However you deal with this situation, you do need to deal with it. You do need to speak up. You do need to face it head on, but stay blameless in it. If you need to deal with your neighbor about an issue, you probably do need to deal with them about an issue. Be honest, but stay blameless. Don't threaten them. Don't swear. Don't get a hold of your anger before you walk across the yard. Be blameless and talk. Say, hey, we've got a problem. We need to talk about this. You should. There are things that need confronted, but stay blameless. It's amazing how much people value that. Because in our minds, I can't say that or I can't bring this up because of how they're going to react. See, this is all part of that thing, and we get entangled. We're not walking in our liberty in Christ, and in liberty, I own myself. I am powerful over myself. I don't control them. And if I'm honest with myself, if I'm honest about this, and I give you good information about me, then you get to choose whether you like me at the end of it. But I don't have to choose that. You choose that. But if I'm not honest, I create a very bad situation because the people around me continue to violate boundaries in me and they have no clue. If I don't tell them, who's going to tell them? Do I think my wife should tell them? Sometimes. Do I think the people in my church say, hey, don't go around the pastor with this issue. He'll like, you know, he won't like it. So we count on that. We're like, we kind of let it slip that we have a bad temper. Why do you do that? So the people be a little bit afraid of you. Don't mess with me. I've got a temper. It's childish. It's immature. You're counting on people, your reputation getting out there. Don't cross them. Wow, that's pathetic. It's a form of manipulation. I don't want to do that. I want to be a person that people feel safe to come and be honest with. I want to be someone that people feel safe to tell me the truth, because I value the truth. Someone approaches me, they can even approach me with something real, and I prove this all the time. Ask the people that I walk with, can come with very hard things. As long as they give me a chance to explain it or listen, and they give me good information about what the problem is, I do well with that. It's hearing it from another source, that's hard. It's letting it slip and get to you the wrong way. That gets challenging, doesn't it? But when I get the opportunity and then you get accused of something you did not do, share with me something honestly, it gives me the opportunity to go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Or I'm sorry, that was so thoughtless. You're right, I did that and I said I wouldn't, or I promised this or whatever. Give me a chance and then you're going to have to forgive me. After I say, I am so sorry, that was not in my intention. My bad, how can I make it up to you? If that's what I desire, then I have to trust that other people actually desire that as well. And I can't give you the details, but I'm walking out something right now, and I've begun just this week. Something I got entangled in. It was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. See, it's not about we're beyond the good and bad. Now we're into the best, like this, what the Lord's telling you to do. And that other stuff. And that gets a little harder to discern sometimes. You step into something, it's like, oh, this is a good thing. It makes me look good. Huh? People will think, hey, good pastor if you're doing this, or good person if you're doing this. Like, oh, I'll do this, I'll look better. Be better for my reputation, look better on my, I don't know what our silly thoughts are. All of a sudden, we're in something that we've gotten entangled in. We're not in the spirit anymore, and you become circumcised. You take on that mark so that you're justified. It's anything where you're doing this so you fit in. Our culture, our American culture is terrible for this. We've got everybody jumping through hoops because it's socially unacceptable. I mean, it's affected me, and my eyes are open. I'm like, oh my God, this is bad. I'm allowing myself to be careful now how I talk, or be careful about this or do that, and I'm forsaking my fundamental values. I've left the platform of certain things, and I've got to return to making a stand and being black and white on some things that are important between me and the Lord. Verse 3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Once you enter into entanglement in these situations, you become a debtor. You owe. It's a bad way to live. It's bad. This is why you're depressed. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. That's a hurt. Ouch. Like the Lord's saying, you're estranged from Christ. You don't want to hear the Lord tell you. You don't want the Spirit to say, hey, you're separated from Jesus. Like, huh? I just left church. What do you mean? I just had fellowship. I just was praying for the sick. You're separated from Christ. I got some stuff here where you're entangled. You're not following me. You're pleasing people. You're doing something so you look for the appearance of how it looks. And it's not what I told you to do. Remember what Jesus said? Very interesting words. It's good to pay attention to him. I only do what I see who. That's all I do. I release you, in case you don't know this, I release you to live the same way. I'll give you permission. Only do what you see the Father doing. And if every one of us will do what we see the Father doing, do you understand? We'll cover all the bases. And there'll be no duplication of jobs. I like that.
When you have a factory with multiple needs for workers and people to be creating and doing and administrating, you don't want people doing the same job. You want them all to doing their unique jobs, don't you? Don't come in and, you know, hit the time clock and all 50 of you go do the same thing. We only need 3 guys on that job, not 50. I need the administrators to be the administrator and the tow truck driver to be the tow truck driver. And I need everybody to be doing their function. I need the girl at the receptionist to show up at the receptionist desk, not in the parts room. We need everybody at the place that they're supposed to be. What happens if you would do what you see the Father doing? And without apology, you tell the people around you, here's what I'm supposed to be doing. I do this. This is my focus. And I've had this grace, this amazing grace and wisdom that I've never had before. I've never had this before. And I've been able to strategically, and I set before the Lord with this scripture, I think it was last week when I first got into this and realized I'm in a mess. This is just emotionally, just in my heart. This is bad. I can't keep doing this. How do I step out of this? I mean, and before the Lord, I'm like, my heart was fainting. I don't know how to do it without making a bigger mess. One of those things. Anybody have anything like that, maybe? So that's where this message is coming from. It's coming from really looking at something like, oh my God. And I can make bigger messes than the messes I'm in. Anybody else with me? Maybe it's just me. You know, looks like somebody dropped a bomb, you know. I'm free. People dying in the background, screaming, you know. Do you know there's a better way? And I realized in my journey in this situation with these relationships that my strategy for all the things that were bothering me, it came down to this. I need to tell my story. I need to give those individuals good information about myself and who I am. It's not fair to think they should just know that. And they're violating things with me, but they have no clue. I need to give them good information. I need to sit down with them and say, this is going to change, but I want to give you good information about the change. I want to tell you who I really am and what I and I've been. And it's funny, when you get entangled, you start shutting yourself down. And people know less and less about you because you're not putting that out. Because you're like, I'm not putting that out here. And it's funny all the stuff that comes in your mind because you're struggling with the continued awkwardness, and it doesn't get better. I'm just going to tell you. If you're in those situations, they don't automatically correct. They get worse. They do. And as I strategically, step by step with the Lord, because I said at my desk, like, yeah, this is my actual journal for my study, like, documented in there. I can tell you exactly the day I'm sitting at my desk going, it's going to be hard to face. It's going to be hard to walk out. But I finally, for the first time, started to get a strategy of how to do it and be blameless in it. I'm in the midst, almost through it, and it's clean and it's wholesome, and I'm blessing the very people I was afraid of offending. Like, they're like, thank you. That's good. I understand. It's so cool. I always left messes before, big ones. And it's all about this thing. I prayed, Lord, give me grace to walk out. And I mean, my heart fainted when I realized this is separating me from Christ. This is a hindrance in my relationship with the Lord. Like, it's that big. It's that real. It's that real. Just getting entangled again. And stuff, just doing good things that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And so if this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, then Father, what am I? And it's like, oh yeah, here's what I would be doing. Here's what I would be giving my heart to. Here's what I would feel, I would see. Here's what I see the Father doing.
And I need to do that, and I need to walk that out. And people appreciate it. You go, oh. And they just accept it. Now, maybe they're mad at you. Maybe they don't accept it. It doesn't always go this well way, go that well. However, it's still their responsibility to how they react to you. It's not yours. Yours is to give good information and even allow them to react however they are going to. Folks, this is liberty. This is real freedom. To be who you are, not in an offensive, I don't care about anybody way, but in a way of walking with the Lord where what you value is what you value. And I need to give you good information about myself. Here's what I actually believe. Here's my standard of living. Here's what... It's not that I'm too busy, but I'm getting old enough that I only want to be doing what I really see the Father doing. I don't have time for the other stuff. And I don't want to. Because when I'm engaged in the things the Father's doing, they're life-giving. I'm full of life. I've got energy. It renews my strength. Like the psalm said. Like the psalmist promised, like Isaiah promised, it renews your strength like the eagles because you're in the groove and there's this energy that comes from walking in the Spirit. That's liberty. Now let's start up the Harley. Ride, baby, ride. I'm riding liberty. I'm in the zone. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter what my weaknesses are because this thing energizes me. I'm alive again. And we're called to be alive, passionate, not going through emotions. I want to tell you a secret. I'm not sure heaven's handing out little gold stars for enduring something you dreaded doing. Like, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. Whatever it costs you, find these things where you know this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And this last verse, verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness of by faith, for in Christ Jesus, excuse me, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. No one can tell you've been baptized, except that there's a changed life. Even circumcision, just the reality of that, it was not something, thank God. It wasn't something that was shown. It was something that was private, that was hidden. To just look at a man, you couldn't tell, right? Baptism's the same way. To just look at a person, you can't tell. Unless you can discern that light in their eyes and that glow, you can discern. Baptism isn't it, hey, I got the certificate. It's like, the certificate or no, it doesn't matter. What matters is having life. Faith working through love. I wrote down in the Passion Translation the same verse in verse 6. All that matters now is living in faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Faith that is activated by love. That's what I want my life to look like. Living in faith, full of faith, believing, that's activated by love, that there's this out of love. Tell your story. It's that simple. Live your life. Psalms 81, verse 13. I'll close with this. Oh, that my people would once and for all listen to me and walk faithfully in my footsteps, following my ways. That's all the Lord wants for you. Oh, that my people would just walk in my way. Walk with Jesus. Walk in his footsteps. Value that. That is liberty. That's the life of walking in liberty. That's the energizing life. That's the energizing life. And if you're entangled, I don't know who or what this speaks to, but if you find yourself entangled, I want you to have hope today. You can and stop the voices that say, yeah, but. You've got to arrest those. You can get free. Your heart may faint a little, like, how do I deal with that? But you can. There is a grace that's available to you to walk in liberty. We started in liberty. If you found Jesus and you got set free from all that stuff, then if you got entangled, you get out the same way, getting back to this life of grace, tapping into grace to be free. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray over this body. Father, wherever there's an entanglement in our hearts, wherever there is something, we know we got into this, we had great intentions, and we're dying in it. Something's wrong. We've lost our joy. We've lost our passion. Father, I ask for your discernment today over every person so that they will know the truth and they'll see what they've become encumbered with. There are things that we quit doing because someone looked at us funny. That's bad. Sorry. We should never do that. There are dreams that we had that someone had a bad reaction to, so we stopped dreaming. You didn't tell us to stop. So, Father, give us the courage to, regardless of those fleshly responses, it's not people's issue. We're all frail. We all are just human in different ways at different times. Not malicious towards one another. So many times there's no malice intended. But all of us need to be responsible to hear your voice and to see what you're saying and to do those things before you. And give us grace today to be delivered out of the entanglements the way you wish so much to do. Adam, would you turn on music? If anyone wants prayer, I'd love to pray over you. I try not to cough on anybody. And if there's anything else today that you need prayer for, please come. Something, you know, any other needs, so that we just take time. So please come up. I just know this is such a pertinent message. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, I need to share this. It's such a big deal. Even if it's just for a few people, this happens so fast to us that we end up in something. We've lost. We've been separated from the Lord. And you need to get out the right way or you create a bigger mess. So it's serious stuff. It can be business transactions. It can be all kinds of things and in all kinds of ways. And you got into it with great intentions. So, amen. Thank you, Adam. Just come up if you want prayer today. And otherwise, you can be quietly dismissed. If you feel led to come up and stand behind someone that means so much to them,